You know that church where we were all having fun in the first poem? Well, there was a guy who used to go to Sunday school with us there named George. His name is Johnson, George Johnson. And I don't call the Johnson family the Johnsons in this poem. I call them the Grubskis, and I don't want to go into the reasons why. It has to do with tonalities and a whole bunch of other things. This is the title poem from my forthcoming book. It's coming out this spring. It's called What Thou Lovest While Remains American. George was an overweight kid, kind of fat, you know, and not well coordinated, and he couldn't play ball with the rest of us very well, and he wasn't really very bright. And his parents gave, his mother, I never saw George's father, but his mother bought trombone lessons for George. George took trombone lessons. And no way was George ever going to play the trombone. I mean, after a year, you know, he played probably as good as anybody in this audience would be playing after a couple of weeks. And we used to go over, when we were little kids, we'd go over to the Johnson's house. And on the way, we'd pass the house of a woman whose name was Jensen, and I mentioned her at the beginning of this poem and later. And we never saw her outside the house. She was always just kind of looking out the window. And nobody just lived alone in this house and apparently never went out. No one even knew how she got food in there or anything. But anyway, then we'd go up the hill to George's place. And at one time, George and his mother and her mother, George's grandmother, lived there together. And at one time, they suffered from a disease that's called St. Vitus Dance. And I don't know if you know what that is, but it's just a dreadful condition where people shake and flutter all the time. And I don't know if that's what they had, because people tell me you can't recover from this. But whatever they had, George and his mother did recover, but the grandmother never did. She was just shaking all the time. So we were just little kids, you know, and we'd go in the house, and we'd be sitting in the parlor there, and this fluttery old woman would come in, and George's mother would say, "Mother, why don't you entertain us by sitting down and playing one of your original compositions?" And this is just what would happen. This old shaky woman would sit down at the piano and bang out some wretched tune that she'd composed herself. Well, you know how kids are. I mean, when you're a little kid, you really have a sense of the absurd. And we're all sitting there trying not to laugh, you know, just trying to hold in this laughter. And we can't wait to get outside, you know, so we just bust loose at this bizarre scene. Well, a couple of years ago, you know, I hadn't thought of those people in years. And a couple of years ago, I started to think about them. And then I started to think about, you know, what had happened in my life that, how I'd loused it up so many times, and I'd lost my coordination. I was too old. I couldn't play ball anymore, and I never could play a musical instrument. And it suddenly struck me that somewhere you have to admit, I think it's probably good for all of us, that someplace we're going to have to stop and admit that life reduces us all at some period to the amateur status. And you're really not that much better than George, you know? I mean, when you come right down to it, I mean, what was the difference? And maybe, you know, because we were kids, we had a right to laugh at what was going on in that house. But as grown-ups, we also, I guess, have a right to see it for the sadness that it really was. And anyway, this poem then out of all this. You remember the name was Jensen. She seemed old, always alone inside, face pasted gray to the window, and mail never came. Two blocks down, The Grubskis went insane. George played rotten trombone Easter when they flew the flag. Wild roses remind you the roads were gravel and vacant lots the rule. Poverty was real, wallet and spirit, and each day slowest church. You remember threadbare church groups on the corner howling their faith at stars and the violent holy rollers renting that barn for their annual violent sing, and the barn burned down when you came back from war. Knowing the people you knew then are dead, you try to believe these roads paved or improved. The neighbors moved in while you were away, good-looking, their dogs well-fed. You still have need to remember lots empty and fern. Well-trimmed lawns remind you of the train your wife took one day forever, some far empty town, the odd name you never recall, the time 6:23, the day October 9, the year remains a blur. You blame your this neighborhood for your failure. In some vague way, the Grubskis degraded you beyond repair, and you know you must play again and again. Mrs. Jensen, pale at her window, must hear the foul music over the good slide of traffic. You loved them well, and they remain still with nothing to do, no money and no will. Love them, and the gray that was their disease you carry for extra food in case you're stranded in some odd empty town and need hungry lovers for friends and need feel you are welcome in the secret club they have formed.